Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast. I'm Michelle, and this is my brother Mitchell, and we're here today to ask you to like this video, subscribe to this YouTube channel, and don't forget to hit the notification icon to be notified when we release new episodes.
Very good.
I know, right?
It's getting easier.
Well, I still don't have it memorized. It's so small and I don't have it memorized, but I got so many things going on in my head. Like, I don't have time to memorize something. I know, right? There's a lot going on up there.
There's so much I could say.
You're so funny.
I feel like I'm sitting further
forward. I know. I feel like we're, I don't know.
There. How's that?
I don't know. It's fine. So, how things been going? Is that a milkshake over there?
No. It's an empty cup that used to be a milkshake.
I look this way and I'm like, wait a second. I recognize that cup back there.
I left work a little bit earlier than normal, so I kind of drank it all already.
Nice. Oh, I tell you.
It was good.
You're something. You are something. And I didn't have any coffee before I came. So, I know, boring.
You probably will fall asleep then.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Okay. We'll see what happens.
Well, this week's going to be a little bit different than normal, I think.
Okay. You got something new to show us? Share with us?
Well, on my way home from drill this past weekend, I think it was
Past
weekend.
Yes, it was this past weekend.
The Lord just kind of gave me this story. So I call it the modern day parable of Jesus.
Really?
So I spent the last 2 days writing it. So it's so,
I don't know, grand on how things come to you when you're just, because I know you have told us many of times that, you know, when you travel to drill or other places that you travel in silence. I mean, you don't even have like Christian music on, you travel in silence. Do a lot of praying and a lot of
thinking and just conversing.
Yeah. With God. Which, that's what prayer is. Just a conversation, an open conversation. So it's good to hear that, because a lot of people think you have to have so much structure when you pray and you have to be in a certain area, not just driving down the road. So it's good to hear that, and others can maybe do the same thing. Like, you don't have to be at home sitting in your chair like I do. Like, you can do it. But I can also tell you that, and we've also talked about how people, you know, when you hear sirens, that, you know, you pray for the EMTs and the people that are not only helping with the situation, but you pray for the people that are involved in the situation. And we had an incident that happened in Versailles this last week. And I heard the sirens go off in our house because our windows were open. And of course, you know, I immediately said a prayer, Lord, be with the people that are helping that individual, but also be with it. And whoever is involved in this, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if it's kids. I don't know if it's, you know, what it is, but, you know, your will be done with all of it. So when I left the house to go to work, I passed the police officers. And there was someone laying in the road, and I instantly started crying and praying, because you don't know what that situation is and what happened. And all you can do for that person at that time and for those people who are helping is just to pray for guidance, pray for help, whatever you can do to help in the situation. And it was very overwhelming. I mean, it just flowed, which doesn't probably surprise a lot of people, but I don't know who that person, to this day, I don't know who that person was, but I know that I prayed for that person because they were in a situation that they needed prayer. So
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was an incident. I think it was somebody who might've got hit or something, but people were there instantly and taking care of the situation. As far as I know, it was a lady, and as far as I know, she's doing okay. But Care Flight took her to the hospital. But again, you never know when it's going to hit you or when a prayer needs to be said. But it can be in just a short instant. Nothing more than just be with those who need it. So, now your drive was a little bit longer than my drive to work.
Yeah, probably quite a bit longer.
And probably more quiet.
You're probably jamming
I
out.
I am jamming. I do. I listen to my Christian music.
Do you
music.
Even get a full song in from the time
well,
you
I try.
home?
I try to, but you know what? I am a firm believer that whenever I start my car, the song or the message that's on the radio is given to me.
Yes.
So I look forward to starting my car for the 3 stoplights that we have in this town.
Yeah, I drive to drills 2.5 hours. Yeah. One way. So yeah, I get a lot of silent prayer time.
Okay. So what did he tell you? What did he give you? I'm interested to. Oh, okay.
We'll get to it.
I don't want to lose this paper. Okay.
Yeah, we don't need you trying to stall for time to
right
find it. So, is there anything else we need to talk about?
I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Mom's birthday's coming up. Happy birthday, Mom.
Well, happy birthday, Mom.
And Mother's Day. True. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
It is true. Yep. By the time this is released,
it'll already be her birthday.
I don't
know. Her birthday's on Sunday, the 14th.
Yeah, but when's Mother's Day? Is it?
Same day, 14th.
Okay, so.
It is the 14th.
I got 3 days.
You do have 3 days. It's okay. Little birdie just told you.
So if I buy myself something that's beneficial to the family.
No. That's not the way it works.
But what if it's something I used to cook on?
Oh, here we go.
Feeding the
so
family.
You're going to give her coupons. Like you gave me coffee coupons to use.
Did you use those?
No.
That's your fault.
But what I'm saying is, so you're going to make coupons to get to Paige that you're going to cook that night on the new item that you purchased for yourself for Mother's Day, so that way you could give her a night off from cooking.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a good idea, right?
Yep. Great idea. Perfect.
Hey, she liked my last idea of a chainsaw, so.
She did.
It was our 5-year wedding anniversary. The traditional gift is wood. So I'm like, what's better than a chainsaw?
Right.
And she loved it.
She loved it.
I had to put her name on it because nobody else was allowed to use it.
Oh, so Paige. That is so Paige.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
We're definitely.
And you know, for me, like really, Mother's Day, I saw a commercial. Yeah, don't touch my foot.
You're getting too close.
For Mother's Day, I saw a commercial like, you know, you don't want, you know, rings and or jewelry and this and that. And I, you know, you think about it, it's like, you know what? All I need, even though I get one quite often from Daniel because he's home, is just a hug, just a love you, Mom. That's all any mom, I think, really, really wants is a day that she's just appreciated a little bit more than any other day.
Yeah. I'll see if that works.
No, I don't think Noah's going to be flying home from Mississippi to give me a hug, but.
You could go down there.
I could. Take a road trip.
Yeah.
I could.
Just saying.
Yeah. I won't be.
No.
I got praise. I got worship and praise on Sunday, so I got to be in church. Mm-hmm. So I won't be one. All right.
All right. Ready
Sorry. Started. Yeah. Let's get started.
Okay. So, I'm going to start by, well, I want to pick up where we left off at the end of the last episode. So, last week we covered Matthew 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read 18 and 19 to start off with, just so we get back in that same mindset, so we know what we're actually covering. Exactly. And then I'm going to read 20, and then we'll cover 20, and we may not get past 20 today.
Okay. Sounds like the end to me.
Able to get it all done.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay. So Matthew 4:18 reads, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, and he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Verse 20, immediately they left their nets and followed him." So immediately.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're going to spend our time, because this immediately can mean a lot of things depending on your knowledge of what's actually happening. So for example, let's say you are watching this video and you have not watched any of our other videos, and we're covering this section of Matthew.
Yes.
And you decide to go grab a Bible, open up your Bible app, whatever you use, and you start reading Matthew. Well, if you actually read through Matthew with no other knowledge of the Bible, then what you see is in Matthew 1, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus.
Yes, it does.
Then you have the birth of Jesus, followed by the story of the wise men and all that that follows that story. And then it goes into John the Baptist and how John the Baptist is preparing the way. And then how John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And then Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights for the temptation.
This should all sound familiar.
It should all sound familiar. Unless this is the first episode that you're
exactly
watching.
Right. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so, yeah.
Okay. So after that 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness with the temptation, Jesus learns that John the Baptist had been arrested. And so now he decides to go back to Galilee.
Yes.
He goes back to Galilee, goes back to Nazareth, immediately packs his stuff and moves to Capernaum in order to fulfill prophecy. And then the next thing he does is this right here. He calls his first disciples.
Yes.
So if all you know is Matthew, then this would be the first encounter that Jesus has with Simon and Andrew. There's no background. There's no history.
Okay,
There's nothing there.
Right.
So whenever you see this immediately, you're like, why would these guys who are fishing, they are doing their jobs,
yes,
their livelihood, they're like, this is how they get money to feed their families. Why would they just drop all of that and walk away and
to follow this man?
Yeah. And according to Matthew, he would be a charismatic stranger, just some guy that walked up to him and said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You would think, what, is Jesus using some kind of power over these guys? Is there some sort of mind manipulation? Is he turning these guys into zombies? They're like, yes, Jesus, we will follow you wherever you go. It would seem weird. But if you have watched all of our episodes, if you have watched us walk through this chronology of Jesus' life,
yes,
then you would see that there's actually a lot of history between Simon and Andrew and Jesus. Like, up to 2 years worth of history. So, and then if you, like, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, we covered the Luke's version.
Yes.
And all, everything that happened between the move to Capernaum and the calling of the first disciple. Well, in there, according to Luke's version, Jesus actually goes to Simon's house and heals Simon's mother-in-law before Simon's even called to be a disciple.
Yep.
So it's like there is
history.
Yes. So that kind of changes what this immediately means. And like I already hinted at on my way home, the Holy Spirit kind of gave me a story.
Oh, yeah.
So
I was like, on your way home from where? I'm like, oh, yeah, Drill. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
2.5 hour drive.
2.5 hour drive. Gotcha.
So I want to read. It was too much for me to just, I was afraid that if I just tried to wing it, I would lose a lot of it. So I literally wrote it down.
Yes.
In a story form.
You did.
So this might be kind of boring if you're watching, but I'm going to actually read you a story that I wrote. And I called it the Modern Day Parable.
No, you didn't.
Modern Day Jesus Parable.
By Mitchell Heitkamp. You give me a copy of it.
I'm just, okay.
But what you said wasn't what it was titled, so I corrected you.
Well, just the same difference.
That's what older sisters do. We correct others.
Okay, so I have a little opening paragraph here. So this is the parable about a person and their journey told from the point of view that you are that person. So I want you to imagine you are that person, no matter if you are a man or woman, single or married, with kids or without. This is just a parable to help you understand the situation that Simon, Andrew, James, and John were in when Jesus called them to discipleship in Matthew 4:18 through 22.
Okay.
So here's the story. Imagine you are sitting in your local park eating your lunch. You are alone and just enjoying the brief silence before returning back to the chaos of everyday life. While you are sitting there, a man you have never seen before walks up to you and says, "Follow me and I will show you how to feed thousands." Your first instinct would most likely be to run and hide, but you stay where you are. Your thoughts, however, are going crazy. Who does this guy think he is? What does he mean by feeding thousands? Why would I follow him? Does he want to kidnap me? If I would follow him, then where would it lead? And so on and so on. You eventually reply as politely as you can manage, "No, thank you. I'm good with where I'm at." The man leaves and leaves you with a story to tell your kids about stranger danger. However, what if there was a bigger backstory and that stranger wasn't a stranger after all? Let's go back a couple of years to a fateful Sunday where some of your close friends introduce you and your spouse to a friend of theirs. That friend referred to himself as Buddy, and you and your spouse really hit it off with him. You realize quickly that you have a lot of the same interests, hobbies, and passions. You don't exchange numbers, though, because that would be a little weird in today's society, and instead decide to stalk him on Facebook, on social media. The problem is that he isn't on social media, and you are limited to Sunday church gatherings where you talk briefly almost every week. After about a month, your mutual friends comment that you should all get together for a dinner party. You offer to host, and the plans are made. Leading up to the evening of the party, you realize that you need to get drinks because the only drinks you have are for the kids. Between helping get the house straightened up, getting food ready, and keeping the kids from destroying the entire universe, you forget to go to the store until the guests start arriving. Once your friends and buddy get there, you admit that you don't have anything to drink in the adult category. Buddy says that a glass of water would be great and requests no ice and that it comes from the tap. You think that's specific, but don't give it a second thought. You give him his water before rushing back off into the kitchen. When you come back out, you notice that your friends are staring at Buddy with a blank, wide-eyed expression. It takes you a second to notice that his glass of water was much darker than when you gave it to him. You gasp and fumble over your words, trying to ask, "What happened to your water? I could have sworn it was clear when I gave it to you." Buddy reassures you by saying it was, and that it was just a small party trick that his father taught him. You reply with a confused look, and he offers you the glass. You take it hesitantly and reluctantly when Buddy insists that you try it. After looking at your friends, you try it and realize that it is wine. And not just wine, but the best wine that has ever touched your lips. You are rendered speechless and just stare at amazement until you finally say, "But how?" "Like I said, just something my dad showed me a long time ago. Would you like some? If you could grab enough glasses for everybody, then I would really like to share," Buddy insisted. As you ran back into the kitchen to get the glasses, you were still perplexed by what was actually happening. But it didn't stop to really ask. You bring the glasses to Buddy, and he starts slowly filling each glass, and once again you are rendered speechless. You are watching with your own eyes, but you still don't believe what you are seeing. Buddy is filling up four other glasses with the wine from his own glass and filling them to the brim, all while his own glass stays full. You want to ask how, but Buddy gives you this look that makes you think, "Not now." And so you let it go. By the end of the night, everybody has had their fill of food, conversation, and wine. When you notice once again that all the wine glasses had remained full all night, and you don't remember anybody refilling them or even asking for a refill, despite your best attempts at emptying them. It let It left you wondering how it was even possible. As time goes by, you start to spend more time with Buddy, but not a lot due to the fact that he travels frequently for work. He never seems to travel far, but it leaves him unavailable often. However, when he is in town, he always manages to stop by to visit for a while. While Buddy was out of town for one of his work trips, you and your spouse had to take one of your children to the emergency room because they were severely ill. As the doctors are trying to figure out what is wrong with your child, they discover a very rare and aggressive disease. They break the bad news to you and give you the treatment plan, but they also tell you that there is no known cure for that particular disease. You and your spouse begin the long and grueling task of doctor's appointments and treatments, all while trying to maintain a somewhat normal existence for your other children. As the days turn to weeks and eventually months, you are exhausted and extremely worried about your child's future. When Buddy comes back into town, you ask him if he could meet you for lunch so you can vent some of your frustrations, and he kindly agrees. He comes to your house, and you load up and head to a local restaurant. When you get there, you see a man in a wheelchair who looks like he hasn't seen the inside of a shower in years. Then, to add to the look, his hair and beard were greatly overgrown, and he had tattered clothes on. It was obvious that this man was homeless and in some serious need of help. He was holding a sign that said, "Disabled Veteran, Any Help Appreciated." I started to walk towards the entrance of the restaurant, which was in the opposite direction of this man, but Buddy started walking toward the man in the wheelchair. I stopped, hesitated, and then started to follow Buddy. "Your sign says you are looking for help, is that true?" Buddy asked the man. "Yes, sir. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Money, food, work, anything," the man replied. "What is your story?" Buddy asked. "Well, if you are referring to my physical condition, then that comes courtesy of a roadside bomb in Iraq back in 2007. It left me completely paralyzed from the waist down. If you are referring to my living accommodations, I refer back to that same roadside bomb with a healthy scoop of PTSD. It was more than my wife could handle, and I don't blame her. And she ended up taking the kids and leaving me. I was unable to work, and my disability wasn't enough to cover my expenses, and one thing led to another. Now I am the shell of a man that you see before you," the man answered hollowly. You were just watching and listening to all of this play out, and your heart sank at the words of this poor man. You could see on Buddy's face that he was thinking the same thing. He looked at you with a questioning look as if asking for permission to help him, and you just replied with a slight nod. "Well," Buddy began to say, "if you're willing to accept help, then I'm willing to give it. How about we walk over here to this restaurant and you can join my friend and me for lunch?" Buddy reached out his hand for a handshake of agreement. The man looked at Buddy with an inquisitive look, but still reached out and shook Buddy's hand. "I like your plan, but it needs to be slightly modified." "Why is that?" Buddy asked with an air of disbelief. "Because I can't," the man began to say before cutting himself off and looking down at his legs. You were confused and looked at Buddy to see a knowing smile on his face. The man looked back at Buddy with a look of amazement. "Like I said," Buddy continued, "let's walk over there and get us some lunch. I would like to hear more of your story." The man slowly stood up out of his wheelchair and gingerly took a couple steps forward while holding on to Buddy's arm. Then he began to dance and jump with extreme joy before giving Buddy a gigantic hug while tears flowed down his face. Then the three of you went to the restaurant and had a nice long conversation over a meal. The man told you the entire story of how he came to be on the street corner and what his future could possibly hold. As you were getting ready to leave, Buddy told the veteran to reach out to his ex-wife. The man expressed his fear of rejection, but Buddy just gave him the look that he has often given you that says, "Trust me and do what I say." Though you're looking for an outlet to vent your own problems, listening to somebody else tell their story really helped you put into perspective everything that was going on in your own life. Though things didn't get any easier, your perspective changed and you were now facing things with a completely different outlook. And when things in your life started to become overwhelming and Buddy wasn't around to bring you down to earth, You seeked out other stories like the veteran from the restaurant. The problem, however, is that lately you start to see more and more stories about people being miraculously healed. These people being healed are giving credit to an unnamed man who visited with them, showed them compassion, and then they just knew that they were healed. Lately, a few of the stories had a physical description along with it, and you think to yourself, man, that really sounds like they are describing Buddy. But is that even possible? You think back to all the time you spent with Buddy, and some of the wild and crazy things that happened while you were with him. You start putting the puzzle pieces together and see this wild and crazy picture in your mind's eye. At the same time you are piecing all of this together, your child's disease takes a turn for the worse. The doctors send you home with home hospice care and a word of encouragement for the inevitable future. About a week after bringing your child home, Buddy stops in to visit. He gives you his condolences, and you just sit in silence for several moments. You eventually ask the question that has been laying heavy on your heart. Buddy, who are you, really? And please be honest. Buddy gives you that look, but you shake it off this time. Buddy finally surrenders and says, I am who you think I am. If that's the case, then why is my child dying? You manage to get out through the tears. Take me to them, he said. You take him up to the bedroom where you have your child set up. Buddy walks to the bedside, grabs your child's hand, and softly whispers, Rise, my child. Instantly, your child's eyes open. They sit up and start laughing. You embrace Buddy with a gigantic hug and whisper, If there is anything you need from me, then just ask. The day will come when I ask for more than any one man should ask from another. Just be ready for that day, Buddy replied. All you say through your joyous tears is, I'll be ready. Then one day, while you are sitting in your local park eating lunch, a man walks up to you and says, Follow me, and I will show you how to feed thousands. You immediately get up, leave your lunch where you were sitting on the bench, and follow that man. So, hopefully that kind of puts things into perspective.
Yeah.
As far as
great the examples situation. And, yeah.
The situation that Simon and Andrew would have been in. Because it wasn't just some random stranger that walked up to him and was like, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
Right.
No, this is somebody that they have seen turn water to wine. They have seen do multiple miracles, multiple healings, multiple different things, many of which are unexplainable. And so here we are 2 years later. I mean, again, going back to Luke's version, well, in even Mark, well, Mark's was after they were called to discipleship, but Luke's version has it before being called to discipleship is the healing of Simon's mother. Mm-hmm. And then the healing of the man with the unclean demon in the synagogue. So they're seeing Jesus do all these things. So whenever Jesus says, follow me, they drop everything.
Hesitate.
They don't hesitate. They immediately walk away from everything they know and love, including their jobs, their families, and they walk away and they follow Jesus. Like, no questions asked. So I'm not trying to minimize what, like, Simon and Andrew are doing here with them walking away. They are still walking away from everything they know in order to follow Jesus. They don't know where Jesus is going to lead them. They don't know. Yes. They don't know what the future holds.
That's what my shirt says. Walk by faith. Very ironic.
There you go. Good job.
Very ironic. But it truly is, because they have no idea what the future is going to hold.
Yeah.
They know they've got responsibilities that they should be doing for them and for their family. And they just let it go.
So they're, I mean, I'm assuming they realize that following Jesus full time, they're not going to be making money.
Right.
And we know that Simon has a wife and a mother-in-law.
Yes.
So we know there is family there. So, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle what they're doing or this whole the fact that they immediately followed Jesus, because it is still a huge step. It is still walking by faith.
It is.
So.
It is.
How much time we got?
You want me to make it up?
Sure. I'll just finish
Six
this.
6 minutes.
I'll just finish this section. So then what we have left is verse 21 and 22, and this reads, "And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." So this calling echoes the same calling for Simon and Andrew. It's still the same calling. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. It still has that same, immediately they dropped everything to follow Jesus. They're in the same boat. At least John was with Andrew whenever they first met Jesus 2 years ago. So they've kind of been running together, or at least running in the same crowds for the past 2 years as well. If we go back to Luke's version of this, we know that Simon, Andrew, James, and John were in business together with their fishing ventures. So we know there's a connection there. But even though there's a lot of similarities, there is one key difference, and that's Zebedee.
I say they leave their father.
Yes. So, you know, it's one thing to walk away from your job, to walk away from your livelihood. And even though Simon has a family, that family is not mentioned in this passage. His wife isn't mentioned.
She's not there.
She's not there.
Right.
Where with James and John, they are with their father.
Fishing, which is their livelihood.
Yes. So they're not only walking away from their livelihood, but they're also walking away from their father and their family.
Yes.
So that's, I can speak from experience. That is not an easy thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
So, that gives this whole, immediately they followed him, just so much more weight and gravity. And it just has a bigger punch whenever you're reading it, because they're not just leaving their livelihood. They're also leaving their father and their family.
Yep.
So that's all we have for this section.
Good.
So when we come back next week, we can cover, 23 through 25. That'll finish up Matthew, which that might be a couple episodes too, but then that'll cover or finish Matthew 4, finally. So look, we've been in Matthew 4 forever. But then we'll get into Matthew 5.
Yeah.
And that's when the ministry and the teaching really starts to kick off. So it'll be interesting.
Okay. It works for me. So we thank you for joining us. Please leave a comment on this video or go to the contact page on purefaithliving.com to send us a message. And as always, if you like what you hear, then we ask that you share this show with others so we can all work together in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't forget to subscribe, and we will talk to you next time. Have a great day.
Have a blessed day.
1, 2, 3.
Have a blessed day.
Love it.